We pray together. Our blessed, loving God, our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that He is coming to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But He's coming, first of all, as the bright and the morning star. And we thank Thee for the hope of His coming. As we've had before us in Thy Word, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with archangel voice, and the trump of God. And we ask Thy blessing on this little time together, as we open the Word of God, that Thou would bring things of Christ to our hearts, and that our hearts might be open to receive them. We thank Thee in His most worthy and blessed and precious name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Can we turn to the 20th chapter of Acts for just a moment? Our brother the other day in the reading meeting spoke of three different times that the Apostle Paul had been at Ephesus. But there's one more in the 20th chapter of Acts. And it tells us some interesting things and some things that I think are very important for us to lay hold of. Acts 20 and maybe we could read from verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Now notice this. And now I keep back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Notice he says, I have kept back nothing from you. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. It was given him to reveal the mystery of the church. But he says to the Ephesians, I have kept back nothing. Now notice what he says, testifying both to the Jew and also to the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to stop there just for a moment. because he starts with the gospel. And I have, in this last year or so, been very much acquainted with what is being called the gospel in places around us. And the word repentance doesn't appear in the vocabulary of most of Christendom today. In fact, my son Glenn, as some of you know, is a bit of a gospel preacher in the South. He was speaking to a pastor in our hometown, Airdrie, Alberta, and the man seemed totally clear as to salvation until Glenn mentioned the word repentance. And he said, well, you don't have to repent. Then it would be works. Oh, brethren, the source of blessing is the fact that we have to come to ourselves being worthy of nothing but death. My brother Douglas here was telling me the other night that every time man has gone wrong, he's gone east. In flying an airplane, there's a little saying that says, odd people go east. That's because they fly at an odd elevation, and going west, you fly at an even elevation. But here, man went east. And Doug was pointing out to me that when they left Eden, they went east. And everything that man has done has gone east. And so to repent means what? To turn around. To look the other way. To go the other way. Where was the door on the tabernacle? It was on the east. So that when man turned around, he would be at the door of the tabernacle. We have to have repentance. If we don't understand that we're guilty before God and that we have no claim, what does it say in Ephesians where we've been reading? That at that time you're without hope, not having no hope and without God in the world. That's where we were. And so their repentance is so key, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That, brethren, is the gospel. We have to understand the depravity of man. And there's nothing in man that can please God. Nothing. Every one of us here had to come to that place of saying, I'm not worthy. I'm not only not worthy, I'm guilty. And I deserve to be sunk into the pit of hell forever. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has saved me. What does it mean to be a Savior? If I'm not lost, why do I need to be saved? Our brother Bob was speaking this morning about being lost on the Lake of the Woods. He needed to be saved. And that boy with the number on it was his Savior. So Paul said, I haven't kept anything back from you. I have preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But he did more than that. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord, and the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. He was preaching what? the kingdom of God. So he was not only preaching the gospel, he was preaching the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, where the righteousness and holiness of God dwells. And that's here on earth. But then he says, my glasses need me up closer. The end of the 26th verse. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So it wasn't just the gospel. Paul's gospel is interesting because there's an acrostic you can use. God's righteousness in justifying the unrighteous sinner, and I hope I can remember all these. The one body. the supper of the Lord, eternity revealed, and the Lord's table. The gospel that Paul preached. Brethren, we have such a marvelous set of truth before us. The whole counsel of God. He hasn't withheld anything. There are no secrets. God has given us everything. And as we consider those things which we've had before us, and we consider Paul, he says, I've given you the gospel. I've told you about the kingdom. And I've given you all of the counsels of God. What a marvel.